Hey everybody, it's Johnny B. Truant with the Badass Project, and I am here today with Keetra Oberlander. And Keetra is blind, and she's an artist. And this is the first time that I've spoken with somebody who's in visual arts as with a vision impairment. So I'm really sort of curious to hear about that. But first of all, thanks for being here, Keetra.
Thank you for having me. It's a real treat.
So could you tell your story, because you weren't born blind, it's something that's crept up on you, correct?
That's absolutely the case. I always had vision problems. I am high myopic, low vision, so I am like, I'm a minus 17 diopters, and I used to correct to 20/60, which is certainly functional. You can get through life on 20/60. And then in my late 30s, my vision just started to erode. I found myself complaining about how bright it was outside, or I ride my bike a lot faster at night, or on overcast days. And then I found that over time, I was like forgetting to take my sunglasses off when I was inside the house. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time for me to get diagnosed, but I have a condition called cone dystrophy, and that has propelled me over the line into blindness.
Is it something that will continue to progress, or does it reach a point where you've gotten as far as you're going to go?
Well, my cones function at zero, so that can't get any worse. I have 30% rod functioning, and theoretically I could get some other eye problem like cataracts or glaucoma and have a piling on effect, but I don't anticipate any of those difficulties. So we'll see. I mean, you never know. You don't know, but so far my vision's been pretty stable.
Okay.
For the past 10 years.
I wouldn't normally drill down quite so far and say, well, so how bad is it? But since you're an artist, I am curious, and I want to share with everybody else, since what you do is visual. Could you describe what it is like now, your vision is like now?
Right. It's like staring at the sun with Vaseline on your glasses. Mm-hmm. Everything's a little bright, a little washed out. I have a lack of color perception. I lose all hard edges for things. I've lost my fine vision. So reading is a fine vision function. Mm-hmm. So now I rely mostly on podcasts and on ebooks where I can manipulate the font size appropriately for what vision I have left.
So when did you begin doing art? Have you always been artistic?
I've always liked the arts. I've always been in the creative side of business. But previously I had been a writer. And so I had been writing for, websites ultimately and editing for websites. Before that, I was in print publishing for a number of years and also in law. So I was doing persuasive writing. And when I lost my sight, I knew it was my next big story on a personal level, but I didn't want to write about it. I didn't want to use language to express what that experience of loss was like. Some losses go bigger than words, and I felt like this did. And people kept asking what my experience was like. They were genuinely curious. They didn't want to be rude or intrusive, but they really cared about what I was experiencing or what I wasn't experiencing. And I thought, well, maybe if I could do pictures of what I see, then I could show them that and let the picture communicate it. So I signed up for a painting class. I dug art and I collected art. Mm-hmm. But I signed up for a painting class simply to learn the technical tools so that I could connect with other people. I came into art as a communication medium because linguistic communication wasn't at that point. It just wasn't the way I wanted to go. Well, little did I know that people would like my paintings. I had no idea they would like and buy my paintings. So that was a surprise to everyone.
So how did you, what's the process like for you of painting? Because I would imagine for somebody with no visual impairment, it's a matter of assessing color and being able to see exactly where you're putting them. So what is the process like for you?
Well, I worked theoretically and with careful instruction. Like anything you're going to learn new, you have to learn what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I've moved away from color other than to use spot color. My new body of work is entirely black and white. I'm working in acrylic and in layers. So I build up the layers over time to get a sense of depth. Mm-hmm. And so my studio process is like every other artist. There are there are no exceptions. What I do is problem solve, like every other artist. I look at the canvas and I problem solve what I'm trying to communicate in that rectangle, in my case, to a viewing audience.
Are the photos literally what you see of the world, or is it more intuitive and feeling based?
Well, now I've gone all lofty, fine arty at this point. I originally painted objective things. Like I would paint a lot of pictures from our garden and yard and, you know, flowers. Like this is how I see it. And this is exactly the point of view you have when you bend in to smell it, because that's how close you get. And that's to smell it. And that's how close I would get to see it. And I loved that moment of connection. So my old ladiness really came out in the florals, but I've moved away from that. The other thing about vision loss that's been, it's the mobility. It's getting from point A to point B. The physics of physical disability have been the real problem for me. And so I've had to embrace domestic life in a way I never previously did. I used to go out a lot and do a lot of things and be out in the world a whole bunch. And home, although I've always appreciated a settled home, home was sort of where base camp. Mm-hmm. Now home for me is like what home has been for most humans for most the millennia. The mobility that we have now and the ease of mobility is a very new phenomenon, you know, maybe the last 100 years or so that we move around like we do, and in terms of daily life. And so I've started tatting, which is an old fiber art. It's handmade lace. Mm-hmm. And I started tatting. And it's very symmetrical and balanced and traditional and a lot of things that I'm not. So I started doing paintings of the rings and chains of tatting, but in postmodern asymmetrical form. And so, like I said, this is going really fine arty on you, but now my work is this black and white bubbles and rocks. It looks like bubbles and rocks by the time it's done. But I'm using the tools of building in dimensionality into the artwork to do it that way. More exciting than the studio life, actually, though, is the company I'm running, which helps other artists with physical disabilities bring their work to market.
That was the next thing I was going to ask you about. Yes. So can you tell me about that?
Sure. What I realized is that whenever I could get my art out there, it would sell pretty well, and I would win awards in just normal art shows where my art was going up against other people's art. Generally not first place, but I would place. Mm-hmm. And yet, for me to get there, these logistics were just killing me. I mean, what am I going to do? Take my little white tent and all my canvases and stuff on the bus to go set up for a weekend art show? It was completely unrealistic. And I thought, there's got to be a way around this. And because of my writing background, I understood the world of licensing. And I understood that I, as the creator, own the rights to what I create. And how I assign those rights is a commercially viable choice. So I started looking for the agency that represented the disabled artists, and it didn't exist. So I founded it. And so now I run a company. Is it okay to say the name?
Of course it is.
Can I buzz market myself to death?
You can go nuts.
Yeah. It is Art of Possibility Studios at aopstudios.com. Mm-hmm. And the site represents artists who have work that can be licensed as surface design onto manufactured goods. So what we're able to do is keep these artists in their optimum studio setting, which is their homes, their lives. They've got themselves set up the way they need to be. Mm-hmm. But we bridge that area between creator in the studio and commerce. And it's been really exciting. You know, it's been 3.5 years in, and I have all the same challenges. Like being an artist, I have all the same studio experiences every artist has. In commerce, running a startup, I have all the same drama as every other startup in the world.
You can say shit. It's totally cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. We got off to a good start initially. The global economy collapsed. Things slowed down. We're not the only one telling that story. Mm-hmm. And now I think we're going to come into an upswing with the business and with what we do. We have some fabric lines. We have some paper gift items that are out there in bookstores. So bit by bit, we're putting it together. And my plan is to change the world.
Wow. Well, I wish you had an ambitious plan. You You know, like, yeah, it's just changing the world. Yeah. Is it sort of along the lines of the badass plan, the badass project's mission as well?
Yeah, I didn't know if I would qualify, actually, because although I'm doing a very badass thing, I'm so not a badass.
Well, that's funny, because that's really common. It's really common. Either on the videos or off. People are like, I don't know that I'm badass enough. It's like, that's why. That's why it works.
Yeah, I think so. And I think anyone's life condensed into, you know, a 90-minute docudrama is fascinating. Mm-hmm. But when you live your whole life every day, there's a lot of the mundane in there. There's just a lot of mundane in everybody's lives. So it's hard to perceive oneself in that way. I heard someone once say, have the best PR ever, never believe a word of it.
Well,
I thought that was a great comment.
You have an official designation. If we had a hat, we do have badass shirts. So you are officially a badass.
Awesome. Well, thanks. I am thrilled.
Thanks so much for talking to me, Keetra. I really appreciate it. And I love what you're doing with your company. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
So this is Johnny B. Truant signing off for The Badass Project.